The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... I'm E.G. Marshall, the man who delivers your daily supply of chills and goosebumps. On Mystery Theater, where almost nothing is impossible and the improbable is commonplace, we often deal with things to come. And while we don't set ourselves up as an authentic oracle, we do sometimes give you something to think about and to shudder over. Listen and see if you don't agree.
It's easy enough when things are going well, Carl. But when they start to turn sour, that's when you have to begin earning your goodies.
But this thing, Paul, this thing you're talking about, it's too much. I can't get mixed up in it. I mean, I can't.
You'll be okay. You just have to get used to the idea, that's all. It's a business deal. Just a business deal. Don't think of it as murder.
Our mystery drama, Identity Crisis, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Field and Farrington and stars Gordon Gould. It is sponsored in part by True Value Hardware Stores and Buick Motor Division. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
The standard engine is a V8. Standard tires, steel-belted radials. There are front and rear stabilizer bars, special springs and shock valving, fast ratio power steering, and a rally steering wheel. What makes all this interesting is that it belongs to a full-size six-passenger Buick, the 1977 LeSabre Sport Coupe. You'll have to drive it to believe it.
Here in my hand is a little capsule. It's Contact. It contains enough cold medicine to help relieve cold symptoms caused by every known virus. Think about that the next time you're sick. Sneezing, dripping, all clogged up. Then let us help you with real medicine, like Contact. We're number one in the whole world.
Give your cold to Contact. Real medicine for real cold.
Take only as directed.
This Tuesday through Sunday nights at the Trojan Horse, in 8 and 11 p.m. dinner and late shows, you can enjoy the soul and stage show of Ray Charles.
You know the night time, God.
What a combination. Great dinner, tasty refreshments, and even tastier phrasings of the genius.
See the girl with the diamond ring? She knows how to shake that thing.
His 18-piece orchestra and a Raylettes. Go get your tickets at Devon and the usual suburban outlets for the man who makes every kind of music. Ray Charles Music.
Yesterday.
Charles.
Oh,
that's right. Ray Charles. Dinner shows at 8, late shows at 11 this coming Tuesday through Sunday at the Trojan Horse, 5th and Lenora, Seattle.
What do you suppose your great-grandfather would have said if you had told him that one day men would fly to the moon, land there, and plant an American flag, too? That a man's heart could be taken from his body and put in another man's body to replace his ailing one. That by clicking a button here on Earth, you could take a picture of a rock pile on Mars. He'd tell you to go and have your head examined. Well, what would you say if we suggested that someday in the future, not only heart transplants, but brain transplants would be possible? Ridiculous? Maybe. Or are you perhaps just being a grandfather when you say so?
Come in, Mrs. Hollis.
Thank you, Doctor.
And this is Mrs. Kemperer?
That's right.
I suppose you're wondering why I've asked you to stop in at my office. Both of you at the same time.
I didn't wonder about it.
Well, you two have one thing in common. I suppose you know that.
Our husbands.
Yes. Both your husbands are in critical condition. In terminal condition, unfortunately. You've both been told that separately.
Yes.
What I want to suggest now is that it may be, possible to save one of them. And it's just possible that the one whole man may continue to live.
But if they're both... Which man?
Hear me out, please. Mrs. Hollis, your husband is suffering from massive internal injuries sustained in an automobile crash yesterday.
Yes?
He's being kept alive from minute to minute. But I'm afraid he can't possibly last much longer.
I was told that yesterday.
Yes. And your husband, Mrs. Kemperer, has had a malignant brain tumor removed. The operation could be called successful in that the tumor was removed and your husband is still alive. But brain damage has already been done. And, of course, that cannot be repaired.
I understand that, yes.
He will not improve. And he cannot be expected to live in this condition for more than, say, a few weeks.
Yes, so you've already told me.
Now, Mrs. Hollis, your husband's brain was undamaged in the accident.
What are you suggesting?
A brain transplant.
A brain transplant? I've never heard of such a thing.
The fact is, it's never been done before. Not with the human brain.
Well, then...
But I've been experimenting with animals for many years. My last three experiments have been completely successful. Completely successful.
And you think it can be done with our husbands?
You must understand that I cannot promise success. It still must be called experimental. Techniques will be needed which are not yet... However, I believe that it can be done.
Oh, it's quite overwhelming.
Well, the thing is, to put it bluntly, we have absolutely nothing to lose. Your husbands are both going to die. There's no question whatever about that. Maybe this way, if the surgery is successful, we can save one man.
Well, what do you think, Mrs. Hollis? I don't know.
I'd ask you both to sign releases, of course.
As he says, there's nothing to lose. Well, I suppose not. I wish I could ask Andy.
Unfortunately, that's impossible.
At least we'd be doing something. I suppose you're right. Yes, of course you are. All right, I'll sign the release, Dr. Peters.
All right. Keep your shirt on. I'm coming.
Paul, can I come in, please?
Sure. Come on in. What's got you so upset?
Well, there's this doctor, Dr. Peters.
Yeah.
He's a brain surgeon, and according to the guy on the radio, just about the best there is, and he's going to do a brain transplant job.
Brain transplant?
Uh-huh, that's right.
It can't be done.
This Dr. Peters, he thinks he can do it, and he's going to try. Maybe he's doing it right now.
Well, that's interesting.
Do you want to know whose brain is getting transplanted?
Okay.
Andy Hollis's brain, that's who. State Senator Andrew H. Hollis.
You're kidding.
No, I'm not. He was in this auto accident yesterday afternoon. Did you hear about that?
No. Was he badly hurt? I guess he must have been.
He was busted up pretty good. And they got this other fellow there in the hospital. I can't remember his name. He's dying from brain cancer. And they're going to transplant Hollis's brain into the other fellow's head.
Hmm. Well, maybe Hollis will die before they get a chance to operate.
I told you, the radio guy said they were going to try any minute.
Yeah. I gotta think about this.
You think that Hollis... Well, you know, when they get the switch made and everything, you think he'll shoot his mouth off?
I don't know. Now, just shut up. Let me think.
Come in. Oh, hello, John.
Hello. I got this message. The important Dr. Randolph Peters wants to see me.
Yes, come on in.
You are actually going ahead with the brain transplant?
Yes. Don't you approve?
Well, surely, why wouldn't I? I don't know enough about it to disapprove anyway.
Dr. Muller, the eminent psychiatrist, has just admitted there's something he doesn't know much about. That's practically newsworthy.
Well, give me a half hour to bone up.
I'm going to need your help, John. I think we're going to overlap a little here.
Yeah, I've been thinking about that. If that transplanted brain works at all, it will have gone through something pretty damn traumatic.
It frightens me a little. More than a little. Can I depend on you to stand by?
You know you can.
Well, then, I guess I'll go do it.
Right now?
Right now.
I think we've got a serious problem, Carl.
Yeah? On account of Hollis?
Well, you don't have to be a doctor to know that Hollis is going to be in pretty rough shape, you know, his brain is after his operation. My guess is he's going to be delirious for a while. He's going to be babbling, and if he babbles about the wrong things, well, we could be in a lot of trouble.
I guess so.
Turnpike repaving job. Good Lord, if they ever start checking on everything we've contracted for since Hollis has been chairman of the State Senate Public Works Committee. Oh, boy, we will have had it, Carl.
Yeah, like the Cedar River Bridge.
Morrison and Dunlap could be finished, all washed up.
Yeah, but why would he want to talk? He's no cleaner than we are, is he?
But they haven't been playing games with our brains. There's no way of knowing what his brain may spill.
So, what can we do about it? Maybe the operation won't be a success, huh?
Yeah, and maybe it will.
So?
I don't know.
Well, I think a hospital waiting room is the most dismal place in the whole world.
Mm. I've spent most of my time here for almost a month now.
Has your husband been sick that long?
Well, his operation was a month ago. He's been sick a lot longer.
Oh, it must have been dreadful for you, Mrs. Kemperer.
It wasn't nice. You know, it seems we're going to be seeing a good deal of each other. Don't you think we'd be more comfortable on a first name basis?
Yes, I do. Esther. Mm. I think I'm still in shock. They called me yesterday afternoon and said Andy had been in a bad accident, and I haven't really been able to grasp.
Yes, it must have been a terrible shock. I've had almost a year to adjust to Ralph's situation. You called your husband Andy. Is he Andrew Hollis, the state senator?
Yes. They asked him. They've been talking to him about running for governor.
Oh, it doesn't seem fair, does it? A man in his prime. Nothing but good things to look forward to and...
No.
What is it?
That man just coming in.
Hmm?
I'm sure he's here to ask about Andy. I don't want...
Mrs. Hollis, they told me I'd find you here. How's Andy?
Well, we don't really know. Didn't they tell you what's happening?
I heard it on the radio. Brain transplant, they said.
Yes, he's there in the operating room now.
Oh, well, I'm sure everything's going to be okay.
Everything can't be okay, not for both of us. Oh, this is Mrs. Kemperer, Mr. Morrison. How do you do?
How do you do? You're the other fellow's wife.
Yes.
Do they say how long the operation's supposed to last?
No, a long time, I should think.
Hmm. Well, I guess I'll just wander around and, you know, be nosy. If there's anything I can do, Mrs. Hollis, anything at all.
Well, thank you. I think not.
Well, then, I expect I'll be seeing you later on.
I can't stand that man.
Is he a friend of your husband's?
Oh, a business acquaintance. A contractor or something like that. In politics, you have to be nice to all kinds of people. I've always wished Andy didn't have anything to do with Paul Morrison. I think he's a thief.
Beautiful, Dr. Peters. The most beautiful piece of work I've ever seen.
Thank you, nurse. But let's not congratulate ourselves just yet. He has a long way to go.
Oh, yes, I know.
I don't want him out of your sight for a second.
I understand, Doctor.
I'll be in my office. Let me know at once if there's any change of any kind. I want readings taken every 10 minutes, you understand? And keep in touch with me.
Hey, you were over there at the hospital a long time. Paul, did you get to see him?
No way. I was just, looking things over. There was no way they were going to let me see him.
Does it look like he's going to be okay?
I couldn't tell. I guess so. They've got a special room all rigged up just for him. I sneaked a look at it. Room 394. I don't want to forget that. You never saw so many gadgets in all your life. You know, the more I think about it, Carl, the less I like it.
Yeah?
He's not going to be the same man. How could he be?
Well, same brain, though. I mean, it's Hollis's brain. No matter who else has got it in his head now, isn't it?
I wish I knew. I'm afraid he's going to have to be dealt with.
You don't mean... Oh, hey, I don't want to be part of anything like that.
Well, neither do I, Carl. I suppose nobody ever really wants to kill anybody.
Now, look, rigging bids and kicking back to Hollis, that's one thing. But this other... No, I don't want any part of it.
I was all right when the money was rolling in like for nothing, wasn't it, huh?
But this thing, Paul, this thing you're talking about, it's too much. I can't get mixed up in it. I mean, I can't.
You'll be okay, Carl. You just have to get used to the idea, that's all. It's a business deal. Just a business deal. Don't think of it as murder.
Oh, isn't that Dr. Peters?
Yes, Jane, I think he's seen us.
I guess the operation's finished.
Oh, I've been looking for you two. Have you both been right here the whole time?
How... Is he all right, Doctor?
The operation appears to have been successful. He's in the special recovery room we set up for him. But he isn't conscious, of course. Won't be for a good long while.
Can I... can we see him?
Not just yet, I'm afraid. Later on. Maybe toward evening. We don't want to complicate things.
Dr. Peters...
Yes?
I haven't mentioned this to Jane, but I imagine she's been wondering, too. When he's better and, you know, when he can talk about everything, which one is he going to be?
This is the first operation of its kind, you understand. We're all waiting to see what will happen.
Yes, but... who will he be?
I can't really say.
A good question. Who will he be? You have the brain of Andrew H. Hollis in the body of Ralph Kemperer. And by which name do you call him? More important, to Jane Hollis and Esther Kemperer at least, whose husband is he going to be? Which aspect is dominant, the physical or the mental? By which of the two forces is identity established? Perhaps we'll see this tangle unraveled when I return shortly with Act Two.
The table looks wonderful, sweetheart.
Oh, thank you, darling.
Reverend Berkey will just love it.
Oh, thank you, darling.
The dishes, the soup. Wait a minute, what's this?
New Minute Maid 100% pure lemon juice.
Why?
Because they use only fresh lemons. Because we're having lobster, and lobster needs lemon.
No, why aren't
we? Oh, because the leading lemon juice is reconstituted. It has chemical preservatives.
Oh.
Minute Maid lemon juice is pure lemon juice, and it's frozen for freshness.
Oh.
Here, just taste Minute Maid.
No, I don't have to.
Oh, come on, you can taste the difference.
Oh, boy. Taste the difference.
Sure, it tastes like lemon. Minute Maid has the juice of 6 fresh lemons in this plastic squeeze bottle. What? Oh, at the door. Oh, I'll let him in. Oh, Reverend Berkey.
Good evening, good evening.
Hal, here's Reverend Berkey.
Turkey.
Why is your husband talking like that?
I was tasting the David juice.
He was tasting new Minute Maid 100% pure lemon juice.
He's been at the cooking sharing.
No, he hasn't, Reverend.
New Minute Maid 100% pure lemon juice in your grocer's freezer case. It's got a fresh taste. People really notice.
Here's to good friends. Tonight is kind of special. The beer will pour. Must say something more somehow.
If you want to make something special, you have to work very hard at it a very long time. The brewers of
of Lowenbrow have known that for almost 600 years.
It's been so long. I'm so glad to see you. We'll pour a special beer. Says I'm glad you're here right now. So tonight, tonight, let it be Lowenbrow.
When you want the taste of a truly great beer, there's really only one. Tonight, let it be Lowenbrow.
Let it be Lowenbrow.
Available in light special and dark special. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Generally agreed that there is a spiritual quality in the makeup of every man and woman, quite apart from the mental and physical. Call it soul, essence, basic element, whatever. Now, should surgery, as has happened here, place the brain of one man with its millions of memories, its education, and its convictions into the body of another man, will the essence of which we've been speaking, the soul, weigh heavily enough to determine identity?
What are we going to do, Esther?
I don't know. I've been thinking about it, Jane. If Dr. Peters doesn't know...
He'll... Whichever one he is, he'll be a stranger.
To both of us.
It's worse. It might almost have been better if...
We'll just have to wait and see, Jane. What else can we do?
Paul, this is murder you're talking about.
Well, he wouldn't be alive today if Dr. Peters hadn't done this nutty operation on him. He was slated to die anyway. Can't you see that?
Well, not because of me, he wasn't.
Look, Carl. Carl, I've got three kids. You've got two, right?
Right. And I don't want them to grow up knowing that their old man was a murderer.
So you want them to grow up with their old man in jail for the other stuff? Bribery, conspiracy, you name it, Carl. They'll pin it on us if Hollis shoots off his mouth.
But we don't know that he's going to. He may not say one damn word. Maybe he can't talk, for Pete's sake. Look, there's got to be some way so we don't have to kill him.
All right. All right, you tell me what it is.
I haven't had a chance to think about it yet.
Well, you can think until your head drops off, Carl, and you won't come up with anything but what I've come up with. It's my way or nothing. We've got to kill him.
I don't know if I could.
You can.
Well, we got plenty of time. He won't be out of the hospital for a good long time. At least there's no rush,
We don't have any time at all.
What do you mean?
We can't afford to wait. We'll have to go into the hospital after him.
Hello, Randy.
Oh, hello, John. Come on in.
Congratulations. They tell me it was absolutely beautiful. I was sure you could do it.
Thanks. Sit down.
Why you look so glum? Come on, Randy. You've just completed maybe the most brilliant piece of surgery in medical history.
I want your advice, John.
All you have to do is ask.
I'm worried about this brilliant piece of surgery.
Worried? Isn't he doing all right?
He's alive. The body has accepted the brain, so far at least. But that's not my problem.
So, what is?
There are two women sitting out there, Mrs. Hollis and Mrs. Kemper. Which one is waiting to see her husband? I'm beginning to think I've got a tiger by the tail.
He is still unconscious, of course.
Will be for, I don't really know how long.
The only thing we can do is wait and talk to him when he can talk.
How about an educated guess right now?
How educated would it be? Well, my guess would be that identity would go along with the brain. I mean, at least lean very heavily in that direction.
So you think it'll be Hollis?
It's only a guess. You can't discount the body, certainly. There's a whole nervous system in there of which the brain is only a part. The most important part, granted, but still only a part.
But if the body doesn't reject the brain?
Physically, you mean?
Mm-hmm.
Well, and I'm guessing, of course. All that does is place the brain and the rest of the body in contention. Anything could happen. The body is long accustomed to taking commands from the brain. How is it going to respond now? And the brain, when it doesn't get the responses it expects, if it doesn't, who knows? Who's to say it won't break down completely?
Well, that was a chance I knew I'd have to take. It's the identity problem that's got me worried right now.
Yeah, I have only one suggestion. Wait until he can talk to you, and then ask him who he is.
Yes, Lucille. Carl Dunlap. I don't know any Carl Dunlap. What does he want? Oh, something about the Hollis Kemper thing. Well, I guess I better see him. I'll take any help I can get from anybody.
Dr. Peters?
Yes, come in.
Oh, thank you. I'm Carl Dunlap.
Yes. I don't believe we've met before, have we?
No. I was a business associate of Andy Hollis. Is he going to be okay?
He's doing as well as can be expected.
Well, that doesn't mean anything much, does it?
Well, he's in intensive care right now. The operation was successful, as far as we know at this point. What's your interest?
Well, you see, we had this business proposition, and it was hanging fire when he had his accident. Now, I can't go ahead with it without word from Hollis.
You won't get any kind of word from Mr. Hollis for a good long while yet.
Well, this is a really big deal. There's over $1 million tied up here. It's kind of a mess unless I can get to talk to Hollis.
I advise you to find another way to straighten out your affairs, Mr. Dunlap. It may be several days before Mr. Hollis will be allowed visitors.
You were right, Paul. I couldn't get in to see him.
Well, you agree with me now that there's only one way we can go?
Well, we don't know that he's going to talk, Paul.
We don't know that he won't. Look, I don't want to gamble, Carl.
Well, I guess I don't either.
Good. Then it's settled. Now, all right, now here's where we do it. The easiest thing in the world is to impersonate a doctor. You put on a lab coat, hang a stethoscope around your neck, and you're a medic, right?
I guess so, as long as nobody asks you for a pill.
That's good enough for walking down the hospital corridor.
Well, we don't have lab coats.
Well, it's easy enough to get. We go someplace and buy them. I'll take care of that. You've got a gun, haven't you?
Yes. So have you.
Do you have a silencer for it?
No. Now, listen,
Paul. That's all right. That's all right. I can pick up one. So once we get inside the hospital...
Now, wait a minute, Paul. You've got a gun, too, haven't you? Why my gun?
Because you're going to do it, Carl.
Oh, no. No, I'll go along with the idea, even if I don't like it. But you don't get me to shoot him myself. No, Paul.
Sorry. That's the way it has to be.
Well, why? You're the one who wants him out of the way so bad. Why should I do the shooting?
Because if I do it the way you're running around so scared, you might just get an attack of conscience or something and start talking.
Oh, that's silly. Why would I do it?
Well, if you do it yourself, you're going to think twice before you make any stupid confessions.
I won't do it, Paul.
Sure you will.
You can't make me.
Well, that's just the point. I can. You'll do it simply because I tell you to. You always do everything I tell you to. Haven't you noticed?
They sent a couple of containers of coffee back from the nurse's station.
They've been so nice.
Oh, I hope you like milk and sugar in yours. I didn't know.
Oh, that'll be fine, Jane. Just so there's some coffee in there.
Oh, it's going to be a mess, isn't it, Esther?
For us? I'm afraid so, yes. What we need here is a Solomon.
I suppose when he wakes up, when he regains consciousness, he'll know who he is.
You know, it's strange. At first, I was feeling so grateful to your husband, to you, for donating his brain to Ralph. Now I'm beginning to wonder if it isn't the other way around.
Your husband donating his body to Andy? I guess That's what it will amount to. If... Oh, Lord, I'm so confused.
And another thing I've been wondering. Where are we going to stand? Legally?
I hadn't even thought about that.
To tell you the truth, I'm not even sure how I want it to come out.
Hey, Carl, hey, will you help me with this stuff, huh?
What, you been shopping or something?
What does it look like? Here, take this.
Yeah, okay.
All right, now, I got the lab coats and stethoscopes.
Oh.
I didn't have a bit of trouble. I figured at least they'd ask for identification or something, but they didn't. Just handed the stuff over and took my money.
Okay.
Yeah, take a look here. Here, try this one on, huh?
All right.
How'd it fit? They only come in three sizes, small, medium, and large. I got mediums.
Well, it's kind of tight around the middle.
Well, you wear them open anyway. Now, here, put the stethoscope around your neck. There. Hey, you'd have made a pretty good doctor at that.
I don't like it.
Then just stop thinking about it, huh? When the time comes, just do it. Let me have your gun.
What for?
I got a silencer. I just want to see if it works all right.
I keep it in here. I never once used it. I just thought I ought to have one around. Millie's home alone so much. I don't know what good it would do, though. She won't touch it.
Let me have it, huh? Yeah. Fits all right. Is this thing loaded?
Yes. I don't know. Listen, Paul, couldn't you... I mean, I'm not the one that
it's
ought
to... It's all settled, Carl.
But what if I just freeze and then I can't do it, huh? I never pointed a gun at anybody in all my life, Paul. I think, really, that you ought to do it.
Now, you'll do fine. Just fine. I'm not the least bit worried.
Dr. Peters? Dr. Peters?
Yes, what is it? I asked you not to leave your patient.
Look, Doctor, I think he's coming, too. I saw you pass by the door, and I decided it would be quicker to come after you than to have you paged.
All right, let's go. You say he's conscious?
Well, no, not what you could call conscious yet.
He seems to have gone back to sleep.
Oh, just a minute ago, he was...
No, I can't.
He can articulate. That's all right, then.
Can somebody help me?
What can we do for you?
Help me. Born in Indianapolis.
You were born in Indianapolis. Is that what you're trying to say?
Yes. Born Boston, too. Somebody help me. Who am I?
Who am I? A question originating in the depths of an awesome darkness. Loss of sure identity is the final step off the solid substance of security. If you must ask who you are, there is no safe place for you. You are a wanderer among uncertainties, lost in a maze bounded by the unknown, inhabited only by you and fear. The mind with no secure haven in which to rest and restore itself will manufacture a haven of its own. And this is what is commonly known as madness. I'll return shortly with Act 3.
This Christmas, give a gift that'll help turn any kitchen into a fast food restaurant. Hi, Pat Summerall here to suggest you give the Hamilton Beach Little Mac or Double Mac Grill from your participating True Value Hardware store. The Little Mac fast cooker has a reversible grid with a square side for grilled sandwiches and a round side for hamburgers, pizza, or fried eggs. The cover locks on for spatter-free cooking, and the no-stick finish is easy to clean. The Hamilton Beach Double Mac Grill from your True Value Hardware store makes two hamburgers or two grilled cheese sandwiches in just minutes. It can even be used to fry bacon and eggs together, quickly and easily and without spatter. This Christmas, give the gift that'll help turn any kitchen into a fast food restaurant. The Hamilton Beach Little Mac or Double Mac Fast Cooker from your participating True Value Hardware store. Remember True Value. That's more than just a name. It's their way of doing business. And remember, too, tell them Pat Summerall sent you.
If you had a choice, which would you rather have? You return to your office at 3 p.m. and find a note on your desk with a name and number to call back before noon. Or you return to your office, punch a button, and hear...
Hi, John. This is Paul Franklin over at Acme. We need 7 gross of those special units delivered tonight. That order should total $10,638. Thanks.
You do have a choice, and it's called Record-A-Call. Record-A-Call is the world's lowest-priced telephone answering system. Record-A-Call pays for itself by saving time and gasoline, reduces secretarial costs, and eliminates that lost business. And anytime you can dial your number and use your remote control key to pick up your messages. Record-A-Call is available at all Lafayette Electronics, Electrocraft, American Office Supply Stores, and H.D. Baker Company in Tacoma. For the dealer nearest you, call Main 4 6540. That's Main 4 6540. Something you might keep in mind, Record-A-Call would make a super Christmas present.
Can say with authority what the brain is to the body, or the body to the brain. Which is master and which is servant? To be sure, we tend to characterize the brain as the thinking and therefore the guiding mechanism, but it is not the entire being. It represents, by any physical measurement we know how to apply, only a small percentage of the total entity. Is it reasonable to assume, then, that it contains the entire identity, the essence of the individual?
Well, John, you're the psychiatrist. You've talked to the patient. What do you think?
I think, as you said before, you have got a tiger by the tail. This is completely outside my experience.
Outside anybody's.
But I will tell you one thing. You have opened up a whole new, unexplored territory. If brain transplants are to develop, we are going to have to scurry about and build a new psychiatric framework to contain them.
You're stumped?
We're stumped, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I have 1,000 questions, no answers.
Well, that's a start, at least. The questions have to come before the answers. What are some of them?
Well, this Hollis brain of yours has some Kemperer memories. He has demonstrated that. Kemperer was born in Indianapolis and Hollis in Boston. Hollis Kemperer, for want of anything better to call him, now states that he was born in Indianapolis and Boston. Incidentally, I think his mentioning it indicates that he is trying to cope, trying to come to terms with the discrepancy. Anyway, what this means to me is that there is a memory, the Indianapolis memory, outside the brain. And the way I learned it, memory is strictly the brain's province.
Spinal memory?
Who knows? There's not supposed to be any such thing. You know, the temptation is to turn metaphysical.
Metaphysical?
The soul. The unsensed, unmeasurable something that makes us more than mere matter. It is a temptation to say that since Kemperer's body still lives, it still contains something of the Kemperer soul. That's not very scientific, I'm afraid.
Still, it's an answer that satisfies in some ways, isn't it?
Not one that satisfies the scientific purpose, though. Where do you go from here, Randy?
I was hoping you could advise me.
I'm sorry.
How do you let go of a tiger without getting scratched?
Carl, will you stop looking so scared?
Huh?
Doctors never look scared, even when they are. And we're doctors.
I can't help how I look. I am scared.
Well, don't be. We're just two doctors walking down a hospital corridor talking shop talk. Now, his room number is 394, three doors down, other side of the hall. You see it? Partway closed?
Yeah, I see it. What if they moved him to another room?
They wouldn't. They've got him plugged into so many gadgets in there. It'd be just too much trouble to move him now. You know what we do, right?
I guess so.
We take a look in the door. If the doctor's in there, we just walk down the hall and wait for him to leave. If there's nobody there but the nurse, we go in and order her to leave.
Order her?
We are doctors. You keep forgetting. Nurses do what doctors tell them to do.
Okay.
And then when we're alone with him, you just do it, that's all.
I tried to get in to see him, Jane. I didn't have any luck, but I tried.
Well, Dr. Peters wouldn't let you in.
The nurse wouldn't. She stopped me at the door. She was nice enough, but she was firm.
Is he still all right?
Well, the nurse said he was sort of half conscious for a little while.
Esther?
Yes?
Look, those two doctors just passing down the hall. Did you get a good look at them?
Not very. Well, what about them?
One of them was... I'd swear one of them was Paul Morrison, the man who was here asking about Andy earlier.
The one you didn't like?
Yes, that one.
But he's... Is he a doctor?
No. That's just the point. He isn't. So what is he doing in a white coat?
You think he's up to something?
I don't know what he could be up to, but I don't like it.
Damn, I forgot about her.
Forgot about who?
His wife. Jane Hollis. She was in the waiting room just now as we walked past it.
Did she see you? Does she know you?
No, she knows me all right. I'm not sure whether she saw me or not.
Well, let's get out of here, Paul. If she saw you, we'd better just get out of here.
For Pete's sake, will you stop it, will you? You panicked at the least little thing, I hear. We'll just stop and lean against the wall and talk. We're in consultation, okay? And if she doesn't do anything about it, well, she didn't see me.
This is crazy. Here's this big hospital, busy as Grand Central Station, and we're going to walk into a man's room and shoot him dead. People all over the place, but does that stop us? No, we just walk in there and shoot a man dead.
And walk right out again. The best way to get lost is in a crowd of people.
Insane.
Oh, there she goes.
The Hollis one?
Yes, with the other one. They're just strolling along, going the other way. I guess she didn't see me.
So you want to go ahead with it?
Of course we're going to go ahead with it. Come on.
Just sort of stroll along, so if he sees us, he'll think we're just stretching our legs.
Well, did you get another look at him?
No. I was afraid to look down that way. But I know it was him. I'm sure of it.
Oh, so what are we going to do?
I just want to see if I can find Dr. Peters and tell him about it.
Okay. Here it is, room 394. Will you wipe that scared look off your face?
I'm doing the best I can, Paul.
All right. Just let me check. I don't see anybody but the nurse in there. The doctor doesn't seem to be around.
Paul, I wish...
Shut up and let me do the talking. Nurse?
Oh, you startled me.
Is this Dr. Peters' patient?
Yes, doctor.
Dr. Peters has called us in for a consultation. We expect him any minute. Will you please leave us alone with the patient?
Oh, Dr. Peters instructed me to stay with the patient.
Well, we'll be with him. You needn't worry.
I don't like to go against Dr. Peters' instructions.
We will take the responsibility. We expect Dr. Peters momentarily. Meantime, we can save time by examining the patient while we're waiting for him.
I could stay and assist you. I mean, if there's anything you want to know...
Nurse, I've asked you to leave us.
Yes, doctor.
Paul.
What is it?
We got in the wrong room or something.
What are you talking about?
That's not Hollis. Look at him. I never saw that guy before in my life.
Of course it isn't Hollis, you idiot. They transplanted Hollis's brain into somebody else.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. Well, then how can we be sure? I mean, if we never saw the guy before, how do we know we're in the right place at all?
We are. All right. Do it, Carl.
Paul, please, if you just listen to me, I don't think...
Isn't that the nurse we just passed? Isn't she supposed to be in there with him all the time?
Oh, it certainly looked like her.
You think we ought to go back and make sure he's all right?
Somebody probably came in to relieve her. I just want to see Dr. Peters.
Okay. Oh, I hope he's in.
Dr. Peters?
Yes? Oh, Mrs. Hollis and Mrs. Kemperer. What can I do for you?
We just saw an odd thing.
Odd thing?
There's a man I know slightly, a business associate of my husband's. I don't like him, frankly. I don't trust him. I just saw him out in the hall, dressed like a doctor.
And he isn't a doctor?
He certainly isn't. Would it be possible for him, and, well, he had somebody with him,
Would it be possible for them just to walk into a patient's room without anyone stopping them?
If you're afraid that's what he's going to do, there's no cause for alarm. There's a nurse in there.
Oh, but she isn't, Doctor. We just saw her out in the hall.
You're sure it's the same nurse?
Positive.
Then maybe we ought to go and check it out.
There she is. See? Standing there at the nurse's station.
Nurse?
Yes, Doctor.
I thought I asked you not to leave the patient alone. Not for any reason.
Well, he isn't alone, sir. The two doctors you asked in for consultation are with him.
Consultation? I didn't set up any consultation. Well,
they said you did. They practically ordered me out of the room.
All right. Let's go.
Hey, Andy. Can you hear me? It's Carl Dunlap. Come see how you're doing.
Now, will you stop it? Can't you see he's in no shape to talk?
Well, then, if he can't talk...
Shoot him, Carl.
You take the gun, Paul. I can't. I just can't do
it. You'll do it. Now, right there, in the temple. No, not quite touching. There, right there. That's it. Now the trigger. The trigger, Carl.
No, Paul, I can't.
Just squeeze the trigger. Just a little pressure. It doesn't take much. That's our way now. Once more to make sure.
Paul, please, I can't.
Sure you can. Just squeeze. Squeeze like before, Carl. Just squeeze.
What are you two... Oh, my God.
Shoot them, Carl.
Ralph, he's bleeding. Why is he bleeding?
Get out of my way. Let me have a look at
him. Did you hear what I said, Carl? Shoot them.
No more. No more, Paul. I can't.
He's dead. Shot twice through the head.
Well, let me have the gun, Carl. Give me the gun.
No.
You heard what I said. Give it to me.
I won't.
Carl, give
You'll
it to me.
You'll only kill somebody.
Let me
I
have
won't
that.
Let you, Paul.
Let me have the
no,
gun.
No, I won't. Oh, Paul.
Oh.
I didn't mean to shoot you, Paul.
It's my arm.
Doctor, will you take the gun?
I'll take it. Nurse, get some security people in here, will you?
Have they taken those two away? The two who shot your patient?
They're probably all booked and put away by now. I just had a weird experience.
It's the only kind you have had all day, it seems to me.
I just had to console two women, Mrs. Hollis and Mrs. Kemper, because their husbands were dead. Only that wasn't what I did. I found myself telling them I was sorry about their husband. Singular. One husband, two wives. And nobody could say who the man had actually belonged to.
Yeah, sad thing, though, all around.
Yes. In a way, though, they were grief-stricken, of course, the two women, each thinking of her own husband as he used to be. But as for the man I was trying to give them with my surgery, I'm not sure they weren't just a little bit relieved that he was gone and the decisions wouldn't have to be made.
You know something, Randy? I am not sure the world is ready for the brain transplant.
I'm not sure it ever will be.
Perhaps we should be just as glad that the brain transplant isn't ready for the world. As things stand now, one more spiritual dilemma might be just that one too many. I'll be back in a few minutes.
The 1977 Buick Regal. It comes with Buick's terrific V6 engine. It carries six people and lots of Buick comfort. It's lean. It's maneuverable in city traffic. It's the most luxurious mid-sized car Buick builds. Yeah, this new Regal is pretty much everything a car should be, except for one thing. It isn't yours yet, but it can be. Just see your Buick dealer for a test drive. Soon.
Dedicated to the free spirit. Just about everyone.
Christmas eels do look very nice on all our holiday gifts and mail. Hello, this is Tony Randall. And I'd like to remind you that what Christmas eels do all year round is even more important. They're truly powerful weapons in the fight against such lung diseases as emphysema, tuberculosis, and asthma. And now they're also deeply involved in the fight to bring back clean air so that we can breathe again. That's why it's so important to answer your Christmas Seal letter. Your Lung Association asks you to give more to Christmas Seals this year for life and breath.
the human mind striving as it always must toward the accomplishment tomorrow of today's impossibility, it's not surprising, perhaps, that among the blessed miracles performed, some heinous enormities are also perpetrated. It may be that the transplanting of a fine mind from a sick body to a healthy one would be a good thing. But wouldn't it present the kind of problem our story has dealt with? How could it not? Our cast included Gordon Gould, Ann Williams, Bryna Rayburn, Robert Dryden, and Joe Silver. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
Didn't you say the banquet started at 7:30?
Yeah, I thought I'd drive over and pick Emery up. I don't really trust him to attend a banquet, even in his honor, unless somebody sees to it personally that he gets there.
Not a bad idea. Oliver, do you know a Nicky Bell?
Nicky Bell? No, never heard of him.
It's not a him, it's a her. Daisy says there's something going on between her and Emery.
Emery Peterson? You've got to be kidding. Emery Peterson's the straightest husband I ever knew. Well, you know, present company accepted.
Well, it's not that kind of a thing. At least Daisy says it isn't. She's not sure Emery isn't being blackmailed.
Well, that's almost as silly as the other. Emery never did anything he could be blackmailed for. I'd stake my life on that.
Well, something strange is going on.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Contact, the 12-hour cold capsule. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
London for Haight Anderson Discount Land. You've never had a better opportunity to play Santa than right now. We have carloads of new cars arriving daily, and the December savings are tremendous. Choose from the Northwest's largest selection of Pontiac Grand Prix, Firebirds, Trans Ams, Buick Regals, and Olds Cutlasses. Believe me, prices will go up. So save hundreds of dollars today by taking that short money-saving drive to the Mukilteo Ferry turnoff on I-5 North. Get off at Evergreen and go one block north to Discount Land.
Mount Rainier Discount Sales has a new location, 33505 Pacific Highway South, and the grand opening continues tomorrow with grand opening specials like the Texas Instruments Scientific TI-30 calculator designed for the student or engineer, only $21.21. And the programmable SR-52, retail price $299.95, now just $227.97. And with every Texas Instrument purchase over $50, you get a Texas Instrument T-shirt free. Mount Rainier Discount Sales, a mile south of the SeaTac Mall on Pacific Highway South.
KIRO, Seattle, the news authority.
CBS News. Henry Kissinger prepares for his last day in London, where he'll conclude talks with British officials on Rhodesia. It's his final overseas assignment as outgoing Secretary of State. I'm Rita Sands reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Kissinger is scheduled to meet again with British Foreign Secretary Anthony Crossland and Ivor Richard, the British chairman of the Geneva Conference on Rhodesia. Kissinger says the possibility for progress in that deadlocked conference exists, but ruled out any further direct American intervention on the transition to black majority rule in Rhodesia. Foreign Secretary Crossland plans to take Kissinger to a soccer game Saturday and will deliver a farewell speech to the secretary at halftime. Kissinger is scheduled to return to Washington on Sunday. More news in a moment.
If you enjoy wine with your meals, here's something you should know about wine before meals.
Before, that's the time to say I'll have a glass of Duvelet. Before a meal for day or night, Duvelet is always right before, yeah, before.
Most wines go with your meals, but Dubonnet goes before. Think of it as an appetizer, a wine that's right for your appetite. Before lunch, before dinner at cocktail time, before whatever you've got cooking. The distinctive taste of Dubonnet before makes what comes after that much better. Dubonnet. It all started in France, of course. USA, Dubonnet Company, New York, New York.
Israel has taken possession of a fleet of new fighter planes purchased from the United States. Tom Fenton reports from Tel Aviv.
At a secret ceremony somewhere in Israel, the Israeli Air Force received its first American F-15 fighter bombers. The three twin-engine warplanes are the first of 25 ordered by Israel for a total cost of $2/3 billion. Their sophisticated armament, which can include laser bombs and fire bombs, and their range make them capable of hitting any target in potential Arab enemy states. Rated as the best warplanes in the West and possibly in the world, they're designed to match the Soviet MiG-23. The F-15 Eagles will replace Israel's aging Phantoms as the spearhead of its air force. Israel is the first foreign country to receive the super-sophisticated jets, which will give the Israeli Air Force additional superiority over its Arab opponents. There are reports, however, that the manufacturer, McDonnell Douglas, is hoping to sell the F-15 to Saudi Arabia as well. Tom Fenton, CBS News, Tel Aviv.
The cloud of chlorine gas that is now dissipating over Baton Rouge, Louisiana, was at its worst point 50 miles long and 15 miles wide. While some 16,000 residents were being evacuated, the Coast Guard closed a 50-mile stretch of the Mississippi River. But the leak at a chemical plant has been capped. Everyone's returning home. Jimmy Carter has returned to Plains after a few very busy days in Washington. Mr. Carter has placed job-creating programs at the top of his list of priorities to stimulate the economy ahead of tax reductions. It does appear the president-elect will bow to pressure and ask Congress for a multi-billion-dollar tax cut. The president-elect, while planning more rest than rigor in Plains, says he will continue working on his cabinet. Sources close to Mr. Carter and his transition team say it appears the president-elect has made some choices for top security positions, with Zbigniew Brzezinski of Columbia University seen as the likely candidate for national security advisor, and Harold Brown, president of California Institute of Technology, as the favored choice for Secretary of Defense. Chrysler Corporation says it plans to challenge a government order to recall more than 200,000 of its large engine cars because they emit too much carbon monoxide. The Environmental Protection Agency said faulty design and maintenance problems produced excessive air pollution. But Chrysler says it cannot be responsible for the way people maintain their cars. The government has announced the recall of 16,000 cotton-fringed acrylic ponchos distributed nationwide through JCPenney and other stores. Consumer Product Safety Commission says there is the threat of a fire hazard. Now this.
That's enough merry-go-round. Tommy, let's go.
Oh, this headache.
Here, Bob, I've got something strong. Adult Strength Anacin.
Aren't they all for adults?
Yes, but while ordinary aspirin, buffered aspirin, and Anacin start with the same amount of pain reliever, Anacin adds 23% more. Then Anacin adds an extra ingredient not found in the others.
Headache gone?
Just like that. And Anacin didn't upset my stomach.
Adult Strength Anacin. Use only as directed.
Hemorrhoid sufferers, the proof is here. Proof from leading doctors and hospitals of a medication that helps shrink swelling of hemorrhoidal tissues caused by inflammation. It's doctor-tested, hospital-tested Preparation H. Hundreds of tests prove that in many cases, Preparation H gives prompt temporary relief of occasional pain and itch and helps shrink swollen, inflamed hemorrhoidal tissues. Preparation H, ointment or suppositories, use only as directed. Doctor-tested, hospital-tested Preparation H helps shrink swollen hemorrhoidal tissues.
Senator Bob Dole, defeated GOP vice presidential candidate, got a letter from the Army saying he could re-enlist and take advantage of a whole long list of Army benefits. Well, the letter was sent by mistake, but Dole answered it anyway, suggesting the Army contact him again in 4 years when the election for his Senate seat will have been decided. I'm Rita Sands, CBS News.
Cairo News Time, 11:06.